step for man, one giant. I have a dream.
Oh my, this is a noisy world.
It's really an ominous.
What would you say you do here?
Who's giving them the business?
For the children.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Good morning.
Who knew? Who knew Coeur d'Alene was a hotbed of jihad? Who knew? That's what we settled on for the Eclipse Stab yesterday. Is it's a little holy, a little mysterious,
a little magical.
Yeah. So if you're doing jihad, you sure picked a great hotbed there, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Anyway, 18-year-old person, very, very settled, Alexander Scott Mercurio. And I've got the DOJ booking thing here. Anyway, court docs submitted by the feds. Mr. Mercurio explained his plans via social media with other individuals involved in potential terrorist activity. So let me just tell all of you who think this is how they got. In the entire arc of ISIS, at most, there were maybe 50 Americans in ISIS because they were usually arrested at the airport, at LAX, SeaTac, you name it. Because that's intent. In America, you walk into a bank with a gun, a badly written note, and a bag marked swag or cash or whatever, and that's intent. You buying a one-way ticket to Istanbul with your passport and cash and anyway, by the time you get to SeaTac, they've got a case for an intent on you. And as always, this guy thought he was talking to Durka Durka, Bin Laden, whatever, Johnny Al-Qaeda, McQaeda or whatever. As always, he's being catfished by the FBI. This is what they do. They're idiot flypaper, and so you have the guy commit an overact. Except he was not going to fly anywhere. He claimed that he was going to light up multiple churches
in Coeur d'Alene, just 30 miles east of Spokane, and the attack was being timed to coincide with the end of Ramadan, Brian.
And so do you say, you spend time, but do you say CDA or Coeur d'Alene?
I say Coeur d'Alene.
Oh, I'm still stuck in the CDA. Anyway, law enforcement claims he was going to attack local places of worship with knives, guns, and flames. Mercurio, investigated by the FBI for Joint Terrorism Task Force and arrested before the purported planned attack took place. What's funny is if they research the success of their predecessors, they'll see they're like 0 for 11. Even young women that were going to go to Syria and marry an ISIS guy failed. And this goes for, by the way, you're sitting around the trailer park in Spanaway and you're saying, hey, let's go do some vandalism to a substation. And you Google it, location of substations, you're on the radar. So I just don't contact me. Don't do it, because you're done at this point. So this guy, and one of the reasons they get you at the airport because the intent is not a question at that point. On this guy, they're going to have to get him asking specific questions and things like that. I'll read the DOJ release on that, but interesting. I don't want to. This is a boring story, and I've told it too many times. But in the Washington Army Guard, we had a kid, an E4, a specialist, who was a history major, wazoo, a really bad one apparently. And right before we deployed in 2004, he was searching on this internet for contacting Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And he said, I drive a M1 tank for the U.S. Army 303rd Cavalry of the Washington Army Guard, and I want to defect with my tank. Well, he was actually talking to this 65-year-old woman in Wyoming who was working with FBI and developing idiots like this and getting the guy to get real. He was spending the day with us, around us, PTing with us, eating with us, and he was plotting to kill us. So one morning there in Steilacoom at North Fort Lewis, a bunch of vans and Chevy Suburbans drove up to where his unit was staying, the barracks they were staying, and they took Mr. Anderson away, Everett's Mr. Anderson away. He had a Muslim name, and I don't care what it was. But anyway, off he goes, and he's doing like 50 years in wherever, in Stateville Prison or Americaville Prison or whatever. But so anyway, these guys, and it's a good thing that they, because it's not entrapment. That's the entire point. Is that they don't contact the guy and go, oh, hey, brother, are you down for the struggle? Are you Muslim? It's not like that. You proactively go search for someone using, like you Google jihad, American recruiter, you're going to be rolled up at the airport.
Yeah, they became aware of this guy during an investigation into a fundraising network that uses crypto and other platforms to support ISIS in Syria and an Afghan affiliate ISIS. Wailayat Khorasan. I butchered that name, known as ISIS-K.
The defendant swore an oath of loyalty to ISIS and planned to wage an attack in its name on churches in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And so he was going to do a little Idaho jihad in God's name and the whole thing. So anyway, he will be in jail for a long, long time. So I would say if you have any Broheims that are gamer friends or whatever, and you suspect that they're thinking of this, you should talk them out of it.
And did you see a picture of this guy? Did your superficial spidey senses get tingling that he looks like a criminal?
Oh, as always, I can spot someone's innocence or guilt just by looking in their eyes, and
look at that face.
He's so guilty. He's such a phony jihadist. So anyway, best of luck with that. well, how about that eclipse, huh? But it really was a sorting hat for who's stupid and who's not.
Well, we had about 23% coverage of the sun yesterday.
Not even that on west of the Cascades.
But it was covered up by the clouds. I couldn't see a thing.
Yeah. And again, well, you know what? Someone, a news anchor had to ask that yesterday. In what still goes down is the dumbest question of the day was by Mika Brzezinski.
Oh, so if it's a cloudy day, you miss it, right?
If it's a cloudy day, you miss it, yes.
So answers the astrophysicist. Not that you don't want to, you have to be.
Let's turn to Neil deGrasse Tyson for this one.
Oh, I know. And so, but I did catch, let me play Charles Barkley on this, because I did catch this at halftime of the sports ball championship last night. And I'm with Barkley on this one.
I thought it was maybe the Chuck Blimp that got in the way.
Hey, y'all, some of them losers standing outside watching that today.
They're not losers.
Yes, they are.
It doesn't happen often.
Hey, we've all seen darkness before. Stop it.
No, not in the daylight.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, man.
Come on, Chuckster. I didn't hate on the eclipse.
Come on, yo, stop listen. It.
Yes. So hallelujah to him. So I don't know. I still have never IMDb'd or Wikipedia'd Sunny Hostin and why she's on The View. I rather sense it's all sizzle and no steak. But she might be as dumb as a mud fence in a rainstorm. She may be. Because she put all these things together. Last week's earthquake on the East Coast, a whopping 4.2 or whatever it was. Whoa. My dogs don't even bark at a 4.2. Anyway, the earthquake, the global warming, and then she read that the cicadas are coming back, but she said cicada.
Yeah, that's cicadas. Come on.
Yeah, she said the cicadas are coming back. She didn't understand. They're named by their interval. That's why there's 17-year cicadas. There's 7-year cicadas. But she put it all together and blamed it on global warming. And I couldn't believe somebody was this dumb. I mean, if you paid me, and in some ways I am paid to be that dumb, if you paid me to act dumb, I couldn't do better than this.
We've got a solar eclipse. We've got
the and keep in mind the bar is Whoopi Goldberg, and who's the alleged comedian with the big mouth?
Joy Behar.
Joy Behar. Yeah, so that's your bar. You must be dumber than those two.
Down the hallway. She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also,
So, of course, she's mocking the makeup lady. This woman this woman is making fun of the worker bee that makes her look so darn pretty.
We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She
ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in like
100
years.
No.
Two different. Well, this is what I read.
There's two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
In life, if you're ever being corrected by Whoopi Goldberg, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. You need to check it from the neck up at that point, because Whoopi's correct. She's sitting next to a blithering idiot who's saying, "I read that they haven't been here in like 100 years."
What?
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know.
You're reading a stupid magazine, Sonny. Are you in the dentist's office reading highlights from front to back or back to front?
Well, you know better.
I will say
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
That's more
or something
point.
Is really
or the Earth is returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
It happens.
And then you get not a hat trick, but a two-goaler. You get Whoopi correcting you, and then Joy Behar corrects you. You might be, that's what my clown's going to say at the circus. You must be this smart or smarter, and there will be a picture of Sonny Halston. I will say this, though. An attractive woman.
Leave it to Halston to make Behar and Goldberg out to be the voices of reason.
My God.
Weekday morning television viewing.
I would get the bill and leave by myself. Right? If I was sitting at a table with someone that was saying that to me and I was explaining that, I'm having a bad day. That's a me thing. It's not you. It's none of you things, Sonny. But for some reason, she's employed somehow in a news organization. Okay, so that's the person. So here's a stark warning from someone from 2017. Everybody.
Okay, it's been about 6.5 years. I guess it's time to finally tell my story. It pains me that me and the orange man have something in common, and that is that, yes, I did look at the solar eclipse 6.5 years ago.
And she has damage to this day. But my call yesterday, I think I'm right on this, is that people are dumber in 2024 than we were in 2017. I think that there will be a larger cohort of idiots who go to their ophthalmologist than there were in 2017 that went to their ophthalmologist in Portland or Bend or Redmond or whatever. Because I saw some of the idiotic coverage of people standing in shadows progressively across the country. And I forget the one on ABC, they had the anchor, David Muir, and his abnormally huge hands gesturing dramatically and then going into a shadow, and they had the little glasses on, and you can take your glasses off when it's in full
in parts of the country where there was a
totality path.
Yes.
They had a segment of ABC people at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And there were loads of people in the background looking up without glasses on. And I mean, I got sick of being told all day long about this. And this woman covered one eye in 2017, and the other eye turned out to be permanently damaged.
Oops.
And I couldn't read every other word. There was like a blind spot on every other word that I was reading. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Maybe I haven't like woken up. So I woke up, walked around the house. I couldn't see things.
And that was the day after that solar eclipse in 2017. And it's been like that ever since. So speaking of blindness versus seeing, they're seeing the youngsters flee Biden support. And what freaks them out is Trump is now leading Biden in people under 35. I mean, it freaks them so much out. What'd they do yesterday? They announced a new loan forgiveness. It was a double-barrel loan forgiveness. You had Joe in Wisconsin and Kamala in Kamala Land And she kicked off the grand forgiveness.
Your loans will be completely forgiven.
Wait, repeat
regardless
that.
Of your income and even if you did not graduate. So I'm going to repeat that.
Because I'm dumb.
If you've paid undergraduate loans for more than 20 years or graduate loans for more than 25 years, those loans will be completely forgiven regardless of your income and even if you did not graduate.
So anyway, you are going to work today so that you can pay other people's loans for their gender identity degree or whatever.
Show me the money.
So it's on. I threw Netanyahu, I threw Israel under the bus. Why don't you like me on that? How about are you young? Or are you in debt? Then we'll do it that. We'll do it that way. Apparently, Nancy Pelosi says that they're outside of her place in San Francisco, and she's trying to say, no, we're the ones that are hard on the Israel. And she said that this morning that
to hear these people go out there and say, oh, genocide, Joe, all that, not to repeat.
But she had to repeat it. Genocide. And so they're out chanting, hey, hey, ho, ho, genocide, Joe, or what? I don't know what you rhyme genocide Joe with, but it's pretty funny.
And genocide, so, Joe has got
to
go.
Yeah. And so they unleashed the Pelosi this morning to say, hey, actually, if you think about it, it's a Republican fault. On this,
the president has not said if they cross the red line in Rafah what he would do, but I'll tell you what he has been doing, and people should know this, and especially try to say this to all the people in front of my house in the middle of the night and the rest. The mm-hmm. president has been advocating for humanitarian assistance to the Palestinians.
He has not. And by the way, kudos to people that are keeping her up on Nob Hill in Pacific Heights at 3 a.m. Because you are truly dedicated Democrats. And these are Republicans that she's talking about. She's talking about San Francisco unshowered, dirty hippies that are out there chanting pro-Palestinian things and stuff like that. And she's had it up to here.
The Republicans in the House of Representatives have held it up.
That's a lie. That's a demonstrable lie on that one, because he's the president. The aid is in the aid is sitting at Ramstein, whatever. You can call Israel and do what you did yesterday and say send more trucks, you know, and they will. It's got nothing to do with the Congress writing a check right now. They're not going to write a check to Hormel, you know, and get Vienna sausages or something. It's already been made. It's standing by. What do you think they do the day after a hurricane or the day before a hurricane? Whip up the Hormel machine, or do you take the humanitarian daily rations and move them forward? That's what FEMA's for. FEMA thought of this. So anyway, she knows that's just hooey. And in case you're wondering how connected they are to the White House, the White House, the Biden reelect Joe campaign released a anti-Trump commercial pretty quickly. Trump released his, you know, I'm against executing babies statement around 4 a.m. Our time or so. It was a 4-minute speech.
The baby is born. The baby is executed after birth.
Stand him up, blindfold, you know, and firing squad. And I swear he did that as a head fake, because that is what people were so focused on. So they came up with a commercial that was, it looked like it was in the gates, ready to go, because they produced this woman in Texas who, what was the issue? She had a child that was stillborn and they would not, or a miscarriage, and they would not remove the child from her uterus. And it went septic 3 days later because she had a rotting infant corpse in her. And in the video, Joe is addressing the camera and saying, well, Trump did this. And then there's, you know, it's really exploiting your emotion because the husband is comforting her and the whole thing. And it's very, very, very sad, because in real life it was a sad situation. And then it ends with just a simple slug. It says, Trump did this. And then he says, I'm Joe Biden and I approve this message. And they played it once an hour. And that's, I'm sorry, but I know a thing or two about this. That's donation in kind. those are 1 minute segments that they are not going to bill the Biden for reelection campaign, whatever, $20,000 per minute or whatever. I don't know if MSNBC can charge anything now, but that's what that's called. That's like you waiving rent or something like that. Or you saying, here, have some free cars for the campaign. That's called a donation in kind. And it's that blatant. I don't think anyone's going to raise their hand on that one, but there's that. All right. Well, so a really interesting tweet from a listener. And when we come back, I'll read it, as we'll do checking if you're texting. But I'll read you this tweet about the difference between having an alcoholic parent versus a drug addicted parent. So Casey from Puyallup, listen up. I'll do it as Sean Connery. No, it's a really, really great tweet. I retweeted it last night, and he puts it really well, what the difference is and what's going on right now and why would the state of Washington put a kid back with a grandmother petitioning for custody. Why wouldn't the state of Washington want the grandkid with the clean grandma? Because she knows her daughter is flawed. Why would they fight that and defend that? Because now you just have a dead four-year-old, and the mom is going to go up for murder. But it could have been avoided. There could have been a living four-year-old named Ariel Gonzalez. But the reality of this, the human cost, when we come back, right, it's 800-465-8770. Checking if you're texting. Back in a second. Brian Suit Show, Tuesday morning, AM 770 KTTH. Table. City of Seattle putting an offer out there for the spa. The Seattle Police Officers Guild will get into that. And were high cap magazines, was that ban actually overturned, or was it overturned and stayed? We'll get into that a little more, try to figure this out. Right now, let's do a check-in of your texting, because someone here has proven why Kamala said, let me repeat that. 360 says, she said, if you have paid on fill-in-the-blank loans for 20 to 25 years, they will be completely forgiven. Does she mean loans that are structured over 20 to 25 years, or what she actually said was that they had been paid on them for 20 to 25 years? Well, let's go back to her, because she did repeat it. So
your loans will be completely forgiven, regardless of your income, and even if you did not graduate.
I wish you'd repeat that.
So I'm going to repeat that. If you've paid undergraduate loans for more than 20 years or graduate loans for more than 25 years, those loans will be completely forgiven, regardless of your income.
That's quite a proviso there. Regardless of your income, you might have done very, very, you might be Elon flipping Musk. And this is the part that, for those of you that like work for a living, use your hands or whatever, you must be feeling really great about April 15th.
Right? Elon.
It's nuts, regardless of income.
Elon.
What reasonable person would disagree with a ceiling on that and say, okay, if you're making $200,000 a year or $100,000 a year, we'll reduce your interest rate or something like that? But she blathers on.
And even if you did not graduate. And forgiveness will be automatic for the vast majority of the 25 million people that we believe will benefit from this approach.
And this will never be implemented like his last one that the Supreme Court shut up, because it is about the performance. It's about the gesture. It's not about really getting the young people to stop hating the orange man.
In the 2020 NBC News exit poll, candidate Biden led former President Trump by 24 percentage points among voters under 30. But an NBC survey in January had President Biden up by just 8 percentage points among that group.
But wait, there's more.
Another poll last month showed Mr. Trump ahead by 18 points among voters under 30.
That scares the crap out of him. Plus, uncommitted, plus Arabs in Dearborn, Michigan, Arab Democrats in Dearborn, Michigan. And so that's how you get throwing Israel under the bus and making this this representation that you can suddenly forgive loans like that, just wave the hand. But you can't get aid. You can't drop MREs from a plane over Gaza. But anyway, it's ludicrous. Okay, so so here's the deal. Talking about, we had a parallel. Contrasting stories. You had the drug addict woman whose mother was going to petition to have custody of her grandson. The mother knew that and spitefully kidnapped her grandson and killed him, beat his head in, and was covered in his spattered blood on her clothes. Left him in on side of the road on I-5 in Pierce County. Her own son named Ariel Fernandez or Gonzalez, and he's dead. Then you had the woman in Kitsap, Bremerton area, who kidnapped her own son by the single dad who had custody had the kid with the grandma in that case, his own mom. And in this case, the outcome was way, way, way different. Far, far better.
The Kitsap County Sheriff's Office said the boy was abducted by his mother in Bremerton. She's now in custody. Como's Karina Vargas was there as the boy and his father were reunited.
Good news, though. We have her in custody, and we have Teddy as well.
Oh my gosh. Where's my son?
Our cameras caught the moment.
And they do reunite. It's a great story. It's what Amber Alerts are for. You got that one on Sunday morning, and the vehicle was found, and the boy was fine. But Casey, that's what we were talking about yesterday, when I was pointing out that there's something just way different right now. And if you haven't been around an addict or have to navigate around an addict, then and that's what I sense the legislators that were saying, oh no, it's just better. Washington State has a keep the addict in the scene policy, which was just insane to me. So there's no removal for drug use. Because in the state of Washington, that's not enough.
There are still many unanswered questions about the death of 4-year-old Ariel Garcia. Police say his mother violently killed him on the day she was supposed to give up custody of him to her mother. State Representative Travis Kotur wants to know if the state could have intervened sooner. Kotur proposed a bill this year that would have ordered child removal from situations where a parent is using drugs. But it's a divisive issue.
I want to be very clear. Substance use alone is not a reason for removal, nor should it be.
Opponents say...
Nor should it be. Oh, okay. You've never been around what we're talking about. And I forgot her name, that legislator who's quoted saying that. Okay, so let me read this from Casey from Puyallup. Something really hit home that was noted by Mr. Suits. I feel the need to share for reasons involving recent events with small children and drug-addicted parents. He said that alcoholics are different from drug addicts. This is very, very true, and I feel the need to touch on this. Bullet point one, my dad was a drunk, the worst kind. DUIs, DVs, lost jobs, jail time, broken home. He went too far 7 days a week, got me kicked off a baseball team. I never saw him sober, ever. My mom was a drug addict. She never saw jail time, not once, but at least lost custody of us after years of torment, where we were given to my dad. My dad had morals. He would beat me if I was caught with alcohol or drugs and ban me from having troubled friends. He would use force, not condoning violence here, but it was a healthy fear. My mom turned my older sister into a drug-addicted prostitute, shared her drugs and alcohol with her. She started at about 13 years old. My dad and I fought regularly each night that he drank, but he's never risked our lives. I had a problem with him coming home drunk. He was and was a spitfire towards him. My mom nodded out on opioids while behind the wheel of a car, nearly killing both my sister and my niece. She nodded often, especially when driving us to school as a kid. My dad would hand me the keys of his car to drive him places when he drank. Small town as a 13-year-old, heck yes, I'll drive. Point four, my dad provided a roof over our head. Yes, we were dirt poor, but we were dry and safe. My mom left us in a tent 4 days at a time without supervision, sometimes forgetting to leave us with food. I was forced to steal from other camps and stores. My dad beat a man for bruising my arm. My mom left me with a registered sex offender. Granted, when he learned she wasn't coming back, he called the sheriff. Drugs versus alcohol, both are bad in their own way, but drugs? I didn't have a childhood until my dad got out of jail when I was in the fifth grade. An alcoholic dad made sure I would play basketball. A drug-addicted mom left me with dealers. I want drugs off the streets. We need to focus on mental health and addiction. Parents who are drug addicts need to lose their children. I believe every word of that, by the way. So thanks for posting that. And I did retweet it yesterday, so you can read that. And follow Casey from Puyallup on the Twitter machine if you're on the Twitter machine. And his Twitter handle is at a random wingnut. And obviously, that's so stark, it can only be true. Because unless you've been around a drug addict, you can't even make that up. That's why I believe that. So thank you for that. Have you curated any?
No, I haven't.
Any insight into any developing feud between Elon and Brazil? Well, Elon wants to, he wants to be able to, Brazil doesn't want him blocking people on his platform. And they're threatening to arrest Twitter employees and all.
Elon!
Speaking of that, by the way, from The Hill today, more and you, the number of Americans who say they wouldn't consider buying an EV up. The resale price of the Tesla Cybertruck, now that people are actually getting them, the resale price is plummeting. There's something wrong with it, with the car. And an auto website says the internet doesn't like, he says that the wrong kind of blame is going Boeing's way. Well, Boeing has 777 sitting in Everett without engines. They call them gliders, and it's leading to a cash crunch. We'll get to all of that when we get back. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. Biden administration birth the CHIPS Act with a fatal birth defect, and that would be DEI.
Bacaria.
Well, the identity-obsessed dogma that goes by diversity, equity, and inclusion has now trained Google's new AI to refuse to draw white people. The Biden administration recently promised it will finally loosen the purse strings on $39 billion of CHIPS Act's grants to encourage semiconductor fabrication, but the problem is that the Taiwanese company, TSMC, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, does not have any infrastructure to comply with onerous American DEI rules.
Swear to God, true story.
But they got to build the facility, don't they? So they are importing construction workers from Taiwan.
And bring it on.
They'll work there on that stuff. Well, let's do a shot and then the chaser. So I haven't heard the Trump is okay. So if your news network employs a historian that is liberal to order, then you're not a historian. Who picks and chooses, who cherry picks his take on the past, but it has to follow a liberal narrative, then you're not a historian anymore. Michael Beschloss. So this is November 2022, right? Yeah, it was that election.
You're playing the flashback first?
Yeah, and that's when the projected red wave was going to happen. And MSNBC and the White House were so afeard of this, they lined up on that November day and that election day some of the most panicky people you can imagine. And the most panicky was historian Michael Beschloss, a flashback.
And a historian 50 years from now, if historians are allowed to write in this country, and if there are still free publishing houses and a free press, which I'm not certain of, but if that is true, a historian will say what was at stake tonight and this week was the fact whether we will be a democracy in the future, whether our children will be arrested and conceivably killed.
He really said that. Let me repeat that.
And conceivably killed. We're on the edge of a brutal authoritarian system, and it could be a week away.
So I can't vouch for his historical research ability, but I can vouch that as far as projecting into the future, you may call him Nostradamus. So there's that. Are they even going to let us keep our children if the Republicans win Congress?
Arrested and conceivably killed.
Conceivably killed? Is there what? And I've never had anyone ask him the receipts. Under what concept do you see our children killed if Kevin McCarthy, Speaker of the House, or whatever? So what's our context here? What was this last night? He's exclusively on MSNBC.
Yeah, he made these comments within the last 24 to 48 hours about the impending dystopian future.
And it's only April. I can't wait till they turn him up to 11, turn him up to November.
We all know, all four of us know that term servant leadership. Yep. The president is supposed to be a servant leader, yep, serving us. You hear about Trump saying he's going to be a dictator for a day, which is not going to be for a day if it happens. No. Could be for the rest of our lifetimes and our children's and more. But if that happens, that's totally against American history. The highest rank in the United States is not president. It is citizen, as Harry Truman said. Mm-hmm. And I would just say one thing. Remember, in the United States, we do not work for a president. A president works for us.
Well, that's a hot take.
At least he didn't say Trump was going to murder our kids this time.
Well, Trump is stopping the executions. I haven't heard his reaction to that.
The baby is born. The baby is executed after birth.
How much you want
to bet the baby is born? The baby
would call that hyperbole. The guy who said that our kids would conceivably be killed, but so anyway, I want my pain to be all your pain through the radio. There you go. I didn't know this. I got to tell you, I'm 100% behind in the final season of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I am way behind.
12
too.
Episodes.
And I found...
I got to catch up on the season 11.
Maybe it's curb blasphemy, but I haven't enjoyed this season as much as past seasons. I find the episodes where he's still married to Cheryl Hines, the actress Cheryl Hines, were much more entertaining because the husband-wife dynamic is very funny. When they split, Larry kind of caved in on himself a little bit. And
He should have been a Kim Marva Kennedy.
I will probably see the show through, though, because I've come this far, and I do want to see how they wrap it up.
And then I get, and also the other thing is, I mean, unless it is a universal, don't bring your politics into your comedy show.
Uh-oh.
And this is where Larry, he found, in a line at a polling place, most states have a law that you can't hand out food or water, anything packaged like that, because you can label it. It's usually a hard and fast rule. So he had his character gave someone some water in line on a hot day, a black voter, and he was arrested. So that was the whole, vibe there was, stupid Republicans that run Georgia, you can't even hand out water to thirsty people in line on a hot day because you have all the black people in line. Well, he was wrong. He was just wrong on that one. And the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, was talking on News Nation about that because he wrote a tongue-in-cheek letter to Larry David pointing out that Larry David's home state of New York has the identical law on on its books.
And so what I did is sent the letter out, and I'm glad he enjoyed it. But at the end of the day, the real irony of ironies, Dan, is actually it's illegal to hand out water in his home state of New York. Here in Georgia, what we said is you can't do any politicking.
So I haven't seen if Larry responded to it or not, but I hear that, and I'm like, did Larry really, did no one say, hey, I Googled that, it's illegal in New York, too. I mean, something, but
pretty clowny
on that one, so... So, I mean, if it's funny, I haven't seen any clips from this season. I mean, if it's funny, it's funny. But I'm suddenly less interested in seeing how he evolves, to being like that. Cause he's a wealthy New York liberal guy. He goes to roasts and the whole thing. And this is not a surprise to anybody in Hollywood.
Well, and the funny aftermath in the premise of Larry providing water to someone standing in a voting line is that the progressives in the show try to lionize him, as does the MSNBC show Morning Joe, and they send people out to interview him, and it turns out Larry ends up being a petty, impersonal jerk. So it's kind of funny because it doesn't comport with how they're trying to turn him into an icon of progressive ideology.
Yeah, and also I haven't seen them address, because they absolutely tongue bathe Larry David, because he will come on their show. The White House loves him, Biden loves him, the whole thing. But will he acknowledge that he got this letter? I'm curious what he has to say. What's his and I will, if it's funny, I'll laugh at it. But it looks like you've been caught as a bit of a fraud. They're calling George out and all those stupid Republicans because they won't let people have water in line, and there is a long noble history of handing people free crap out in line. It used to be here in Seattle, in Portland, in America, 100 years ago, you would have kegs of beer, and you would have come out, and if you voted for McKinley, you went over to the Republican beer, and that. That would seem to be an undue influence now, wouldn't it? And so, yeah, it would be. And so we don't do this. We don't have like Biden's face on a sandwich wrap on a Subway or something like that. It's strictly illegal. And that's where, you know, like I say, showing uninterrupted, not as like B-roll, not doing a voiceover of the new Biden commercial features a woman in Texas who had a miscarriage. No, they just run the commercial the same way you're going to see it on the TV. If you happen to be unfortunate enough to be watching a channel like that, you're just not going to get a bill. They're getting a freebie from the fact that it's news that the Biden administration is running a commercial. And you're never going to see a Trump commercial. That won't be news. And if it is, they'll be cutting it apart, and they won't let him have a uninterrupted 60 seconds of MSNBC. Being called out, it's getting kind of old, but there some lies that he just throws out there are echoing because he's been making.
I, like an awful lot of people in this audience, was the first in my family to go to college and watch my dad struggle to help me get there and get all the kids there, and it wasn't easy.
He was called out on that one in like 92,
quite a while ago.
And then the other one in another clip, he said that his grandfather on his mom's side, Finnegan, Grandpa Finnegan, was an all-American football player. Then he goes mumble college.
I may be Irish, but I'm not stupid.
And but there's evidence to the contrary. So he contradicts himself. And at this point, it just gets tiring. I heard the thing I played yesterday was the montage of all the different neighborhoods, all the different ethnicities that raised him in his neighborhood. We lost track. I stopped it at Farsi. I stopped at all the Persian people that he grew up around in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Synagogues in my state.
Everyone in town was either Polish or Italian.
and I grew up feeling self-conscious. My name.
I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community. I had a very close relationship with the Greek American community, for real. I am Joe Bidenopoulos.
I grew up in a heavily Irish Catholic community in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and a heavily Italian Polish community.
When I say I got raised in the black church, he knows I'm not kidding.
I'll just stop it there today. I mean, the only true thing I heard there was Irish Catholic. So there's that. But his Persian chops are not. But anyway, whoever is in front of him. So the birth defect and the CHIPS Act, we'll get to that. And EVs are just not catching fire. I mean, demand-wise, back in the second AM 770 KTTH.